John chapter 11. Breaking in at the first verse this morning. If you got your place, say amen. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with anointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I don't want you to miss this verse. Let's read it again. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory. It's for the glory of God. I want you to get that this morning. It's for the what? The glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard that therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said, he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Let's go over to the 17th verse. Now when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, which is a little over a mile. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, listen, yet shall he live again. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Bless his holy name. I can already see the page. I love this scripture. And whosoever, listen, liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, would you just speak into our spirit today as we try to exalt thy holy name, Lord, with your word. God, speak to us, draw us closer to you. And should there be one here today lost and undone without you, God, today may be the day, Lord. We would love to see them walk this aisle for you, for we ask it in the highest and the holiest name that we know, and that's the name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. I want to read just a little bit more to you if I can here. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Come, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible, right there, verse 35. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died? And Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister, said here, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, listen, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I know that thou hearest me always, and because of the people which standeth by, say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound, listen, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with napkins. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Amen. Loose him and let him go. That's the way I feel this morning. I'm about to get loose and get gone. Amen. I love him this morning because he first loved me. Here we see in this chapter, Jesus here has been informed that his good friend Lazarus is sick and that he's dying. But Jesus don't go right away to see about him because he knows that this sickness is for the glory of God. Jesus sees the people filled with grief and he's moved with compassion. You may have been praying and asking God to do something in your life and he hasn't done it yet. You need to hold on. Help is on the way. Bless his holy name. And I want to preach this morning with the help of the Lord on a simple titled, Land of No Goodbyes. I'm glad we're going to a land that'll have no goodbyes in it. I'm not going to a land for a vacation and stay for a little while, but I'm headed to a land where I'll never say goodbye to another loved one. I'll never have to leave. I'll be there forevermore. I'll never have to take another nap. I won't have to go buy a bed to sleep in. It'll be one endless day when we get on the streets of glory. Amen. What a wonderful time it'll be for those that love and serve him. For those that have trusted in the Lord and are living for him, they're headed for this land of no goodbyes. If you're here this morning, you're saved. You're headed to that land of no goodbyes. But if you're here and lost, there are going to be a lot of goodbyes left in your life if the Lord lets you live. You'll have to say goodbye to a lot of people, and it'll break your heart. But those that are saved, there's a comfort within us when those that die in the Lord, that we can walk by the casket and we can go by the graveside. And yes, our hearts are broken. Yes, it's a sad time. But we don't say goodbye. We just say goodnight for a little while. I'll see you in the morning. Amen. The Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. One day after a while, he's going to call, and we're going to give an answer, and we're headed towards that land of no goodbyes. What a wonderful day that's going to be for the children of God when we get over there. It'll be good. I don't know about you this morning, but it makes me excited. Thinking about this place, it's called heaven. There's a few things I want to tell you about heaven this morning. You that are lost, you need to listen close this morning. You're missing out. You're missing out on the blessings of God. The first thing I want to tell you about this land, there'll be no heartaches in that land. I went to the hospital this morning and visited a dear brother that had a heart attack yesterday, and they're there, and they're going to have to do some work on him and do a stent and all these kind of things. And because the arteries are blocking up and he's having problems with his heart. He's a good man of God. He's ready to meet the Lord, but he's headed to a land where there are going to be no heartaches when we get over there. We're not going to have no stents over there. We ain't going to be shocked back to life over there. We're going to have life eternal when we get over on the streets of glory. I tell you, it's going to be good. No more heartaches. Here we see in verse 33, Jesus therefore saw the weak being of the Jews and saw him weeping and wailing there. And he had great compassion, so much that he groaned in his spirit when he saw him crying and weeping that Lazarus was dead. When our loved ones die, we come around and we try to comfort one another. Over in Ecclesiastes, he talks about there's a season for everything. There's a time to mourn and a time to weep. And there's a time for that. And we try to have compassion upon people when their loved ones die. I used to work down at the funeral home, and I would stand at the end of the casket here, and another man would stand over there. And we'd stand here while families went through for the last time to view that body for the last time. And my heart would break for those families as I saw the tears run down their face. It hurt my heart for them. No, I didn't know the deceased. I didn't know the family, but my heart was touched with compassion for those that were heartbroken. I'm glad that Jesus was there that day and he was touched with compassion when he saw the Jews weeping and crying. And he was touched that day so much that he wept himself over those that were weeping. Now, many scholars and many different ones want to try to dig in and say that didn't mean that, and Jesus wept because he was having to bring Lazarus back and all these different things. I like to take the Bible for what it says. I don't want to try to add to it or take nothing away. The Bible says Jesus was filled with compassion and wept that day. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He knows how we feel. And when we cry, I believe it breaks his heart. I want to talk to you parents for just a minute. When your children cry, does it make you cry? It makes me cry. Every time she was heartbroken, it broke my heart. And I'd want to pull her up in my arms and say, "It's going to be all right, honey. Daddy's here. Daddy loves you. It's going to be, I know your heart's broke. It's not that bad. It's going to be all right." And I love to give her that father's love and try to comfort her. But I remember many times when I get heartbroken in this world and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm all alone and ain't none of you all there. And ain't nobody there to help me. And the tears start flowing. I feel Daddy's big arms come around me and pull me up to his chest and rock me in his arms and say, "Everything is going to be all right." There's nothing like the love of Jesus. Amen. I appreciate the Lord this morning. I'm glad he's got compassion for us when we're heartbroken. Matthew 9:36, the Bible says, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because of their grief. He was moved upon them." I'm going to tell you this morning, he knows what you've been through this week. He knows exactly where you've been. He knows every heartache. He knows every thought that you've had. And he was there, the one that gave you the comfort. He was there comforting you through that time. "I didn't see the Lord." No, you don't see the Lord. We can't see the Lord audibly like this. We don't see him physically or hear him audibly, but I can feel him in my soul. Amen. I know that he's there. Brother Aaron, I ain't got to ask you if the Lord's with me. I know he's with me. I know he walks with me. I know he talks with me. I know he's the one there in the midnight hour. He's there to help me when I'm in trouble. Can I hear from you this morning? He's always there. Over in Matthew 14:14, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sickness." He's not only moved compassionately because of your weeping, but when we're sick, he's moved with compassion to touch us for healing. And a lot of times our healing doesn't come. And there's things that's got to take place. And you'd say, well, why is this one sick? And why is that one sick? And why won't God touch this? And why won't God touch that one? If you remember back into the earlier part of the verse, he hesitated before he went where Lazarus was sick because it was for the glory of God. I'm telling you this morning, whatever you're going through, you shouldn't say, why me, oh me. You should say, it's for the glory of God. I'm going to lift my hands and bless his name. Well, you're sick and dying. I'm going to lift my hands and bless his name. You mean you're going to praise him in your sickness? I'm going to glorify him in my sickness. Why? Because it's for the glory of God. We need to represent Christ even when things are bad in our life. I'm glad that God knows this morning exactly what's going on in your mind right now. He knows how much you had to fight to get here this morning. How all the obstacles you had to overcome to get here this morning. Why did you come this morning? Because you need something from God. Every one of you needs something from God this morning. Now you may sit there and act like there ain't nothing going on, but there's a war going on in here this morning. I'm telling y'all, a hell don't want me to preach this morning, but I'm going to preach. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm going to stand against the wiles of the devil, and I'm going to tell you, there's a way out this morning for what's going on in your life. He's got compassion for you this morning if you'll surrender it to him. A lot of times we hinder the will of God because we won't lay it down before him. We won't say, God, here it is. Would you take it and pull this out of my life? God, I can't take it no more. And he can move it out if you'll get out of the way. I'm glad in this land not only will there be no heartaches there, there's not going to be any crying there. There's not going to be any crying there. Verses 34, let's look at that. Verse 34 there for just a minute. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And we see there in verse 35, Jesus physically crying. And the Jews and all those around were crying. Everybody's weeping and they're crying. And it's a sad, sad time that this Lazarus has died. His friend has died. Their brother has died. Their neighbor has died. The one in the community that everybody looked to has died. They feel like their hope has died in the community. But they didn't realize that hope just walked in. Hope just walked in to make everything better and wipe the tears from their eyes. He said, I'm fixing to make everything better. I'm going to tell you, church, he's fixing to make everything better. I know our world's in a mess and the country's in a mess and everything's a mess, but he's fixing to wipe all tears from our eyes. He's fixing to call us out of here into a better land. We're going to a city whose builder and maker is God. We won't have to cry no more when we get over there. We'll shout the victory when we get on to the other side of glory. I'm glad that one day after a while, I'll never shed another tear again of weeping on this side. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Revelation 21 verse 4, he said, and I, God, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. I'm glad he's going to take it all away. What a time it'll be when we get over there. I feel it this morning. I don't know if you can see it, but I'll tell you what, I feel the cool breeze of heaven pouring down this morning. I'm glad he's given me a sight this week over into heaven and told me to press on, that it's going to pay off just before too long. Amen. Just before too long. This thing's fixing to pay off. What a wonderful time it's going to be for the children of God. I don't know about you. I get a little excited when I think about heaven and how good it's been. Revelation 7:14, he says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living foundations of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Isaiah 25 verse 8, he says he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears off the faces, and the rebuke of the people shall be taken away from off the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. I'm glad that one day after a while, he's going to step out on the cloud, and he ain't going to whisper, come up here. He's going to say, come up hither, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'm calling you out to a better place. And we're going to tell you what's going to happen. This old gravity that's got us wrapped up in these dead grave clothes, one day after a while, he's going to call and they're going to have to turn me loose. And I'm going to head to this place up in the sky. This land of no goodbyes is where I'm headed. I don't know about you this morning, but that's where I'm headed. That's where I'm headed, to the land of no goodbyes. It's going to be good when we get over there. Man, you're a little wild this morning. It's something to get wild about this morning. No more heartaches. No more crying. And finally, no more pain. Oh, everybody in here ought to shout over that. I've had enough pain this week for all of you. We have pain in the body, and we have pain in the heart. We have pains in the head. We have all these pains, aches and pains. I was talking to a brother this morning. You heard about those golden years. The older I get, I find out it's rusty years, not golden years. There ain't no gold to it. The body hurts all over. The joints hurt. The ankles hurt. The fingers hurt. The neck hurt. The eyeball sockets hurt. Everything hurts. But I'm glad we're headed to a city. There'll be no more pain, amen. He'll do away with all that. We won't have to worry about the pain no more. Verse 2, he said there, it was Mary which anointed the Lord with the anointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. She went there and wiped Jesus' feet and anointed him there. It was a type of anointing of the resurrection. She was anointing his body before anybody even realized it. She was doing something. I can't help but to feel that maybe through the Spirit he spoke to her, and she did it ahead of time to anoint the body of the Lord. She took the ointment and anointed him there because she loved the Lord and what he had done for her. Do you love the Lord this morning? Are you willing to give the Lord everything this morning? The problem is the reason we hold back the blessings of God is we're not willing to give to God. Do you realize he's a holy God? You didn't come this morning just to get something, but I come to give something this morning. I don't come to church just to get something from him, but I come to give something to him. What is that? It's a sacrifice of praise. That's what we should be doing this morning, giving him that sacrifice of praise. Lord, I'll lift my hands. Why? Because you're worthy. Lord, I'll say amen. Why? Because you're worthy. I'll back the preacher. Why? Because you're worthy, Lord. That's why I'll do it. I'll clap my hands, Lord. Why? Because you tell us to clap our hands in the sanctuary. He tells us to shout with a shout of victory. That's why we do it, amen. Why? Because we're headed to a city where there'll be no more pain, amen. That ought to make you shout this morning if you ain't never shouted. Praise the Lord. And he says there in Revelations 21, 4, in the last part of that verse, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Ain't that going to be good? That's going to be good. The former things. That means all this suffering that you've went through, everything that you know that's brought you down, is going to be done away with. Brothers, we ain't going to go sit in a hospital no more. There'll be no hospitals on the hills of glory. There'll be no doctors on the hills of glory. There'll be no nurses. There'll be no ambulance service. There'll be no 911 when we get to glory. For God himself shall be the light of that city. We'll go in and out, what the Bible says, and find pasture in that city. I'll get to stroll through the streets. I may go down to Brother David's house and sit for a while. How you doing, Brother David? Sure good to see you here. Boy, it's a nice place you got. He'll tell me, yeah, it's all because of him that God gave me this place. Now I might stroll on down a couple doors down and not be Brother Luke's house. And I'd say, Brother Luke, boy, it sure is a nice place. And he said, it's all because of him. It's all because of him that I have this, amen. And we'll stroll for a million years and then another million years and right on and right on. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more heartache. It'll be a wonderful time for the children of God. I can't express to you how good heaven is going to be. Romans 8, 21 and 22, he says, because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Even the earth is going to be delivered one day. Do y'all realize that? Even this old world is going to get delivered from this mess one day. It's going to be good. Verse 22, he said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together, even unto now. The world itself is groaning because of the sin and the corruption that is within it. But I'm going to tell you, there's one more thing that's got to happen. In 1 Corinthians 15, 26, he says, for the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's the last enemy that's going to be destroyed. The last pain. It's going to be death. One day after a while, you and I are going to draw our last breath. And death's going to be there. And God's going to be there. And I'm glad if we're truly saved and born again, old death won't be able to put his hands upon me, because God will be there and he'll say, that one's mine. Get your hands off of him. And we'll step right on across. And it'll be a good time. When we step over, you might say, I'm afraid to die. Well, you better do something about it if you're afraid this morning. I've always been nervous about dying. You know why? I've never died. I've never been dead. I don't know what it's like to draw the last breath and move into eternity. But I know who's going to be there when I get there. I know who's going to be there when I get there. It'll be Jesus. He'll be there to take me on a cross. Oh, I got to read you this last part. This is a good one right here. Revelations chapter 4. Verse 1, he said, and I saw, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw that new, listen, I saw that city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and he shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither shall be sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm going to tell you what, if that don't get you excited this morning, your wood's soaked all the way through this morning. I'm glad for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Can I get a witness this morning? He loved us so much that he said, I'm gone away to prepare a place for every one of you all. He's prepared this place. It ain't just for the preacher. It ain't just for the deacons. It just ain't for a church member. But it's for all those that have called upon his name and said, Lord, here I am a sinner. Save me or I'll perish. Those are the ones. And he said, I'll go and prepare a place. I'm going to go build it. I'm going to go get it all fixed up. But I'm going to come again. I'm going to get every one of you. that will believe on my sacrifice, you that believed in the resurrection, you that have followed what I have told you to do, is to believe on me, confess me, accept me. I'm coming after you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a comforter that's going to lead and guide and direct you, which is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave you my word to follow. You've got a roadmap to follow. You've got the Holy Spirit to follow. I'm going to let them set up sanctuaries. I'm going to let you worship and praise me. I want you to feel my presence. I'm going to be with you all the way to the end of the world. I'm going to be with you. And then I'm going to come back and get you. I don't know what that does for you this morning, but that makes me pretty excited. I told you last week I read the back of the book. We win in the end. The devil tell you what a loser you are? You ought to tell him you ought to read the back of the book. That'll tell you what kind of loser I am. I'm winning, you're the loser. He's going to get his. I can't wait till we're standing in that great congregation with the Lord. And I get to step back and say, get him. Get him, Lord. Go get him. And he binds him up hand and foot and throws him into the bottomless pit. I think there'll be some shouting that day. You know what's going to be funny? I think when we actually see who Satan really is, we're going to look and go, and that's what caused me all that trouble? They want to make him out to be this big old red horny type of monster. He's got horns and big long tail and a pitchfork. They want him out to be this big old nasty looking monster. That's not what he is. Y'all realize that he was one of the most beautiful angels there were in heaven? He was the song leader in heaven. But he got exalted. And he got cast out. So he's not what you think he is. He's a manipulator. He's the one who makes everything look good. He'll paint you the prettiest picture. Look at that up there. That's a pretty picture right there. And you think, man, that's wonderful. That's the way the devil is. He'll paint a nice picture for you to look at. But he'll never tell you the septic tank that's on the other side of it. He'll never tell you what's just on the other side of that pretty picture. And I could get into so much. I mean, there's a whole other message. But I'm going to tell you, God loves you this morning. And he's gone away to prepare a place. And you that are here that's lost without God, let me give you some reality for just a moment. You're going to attend your last service one day. You're going to hear your last gospel song. You're going to see your loved one give the last testimony. Maybe see Mama shout the last time. There's going to be a last time. But if you'll remember, if you know anything about the Bible, there was a rich man that has done exactly what you're doing right now. And it took him raising his eyes in hell to realize how bad it really is. But he came an evangelist then, but it's too late. He got the call then, but it's too late. Go warn my five brothers and tell them not to come to this awful place. Oh, he wanted to witness then. He wanted to live for God then. He wanted out of that torment then, but it was too late. That rich man died. No doubt his family went by the burial and had to say goodbye. They didn't know why he just died all of a sudden. He had plenty of wealth, had plenty of time, they thought. Now he's dead. They said goodbye. Didn't realize he's already in hell. There's people in hell right now screaming for your opportunity. In the next few minutes, they're screaming, give me that opportunity. Let me do it. I'll go. I'll give my life. Get me out of this awful place. But yet we'll turn it away and turn it away and turn it away. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about getting things fixed up where you never have to say goodbye again. As every head is bowed, every eye closed,